I can't even tell you how excited I am to be back here on this Monday morning with you all. Sports Card Strategy Show, Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. And I've got my main man, Lefty McKee, here with me today. You don't see him yet. He's not in the studio, but I know he's on his way. He was texting me, and he will be here momentarily. So don't worry, everybody. We're going to have the Lefty. But this gives us a great opportunity to jump right in and talk about our partner for the show, Graybo's Sports Cards. Graybo's Sports Cards is a hobby shop located in Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's opened in February, just a few months ago, owned by Duke Dodson, the Duke of Southern Sports Cards, I believe he's now referred to from Mr. Ryan Baruski, the king of nicknames. Ryan Fitz, who I met along with Duke Dodson at Mint Collective, and Gray Burnett, who Graybo's is named after, Graybo Burnett. The three owners of Graybo's collected cards as kids, fell out of the hobby for a few years, but got back in. Don't worry, they got back in 2021, like many of us did, put their heads together, decided to create the ultimate experience for sports cards collectors and investors in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sells wax, raw singles, graded singles. They run breaks every Tuesday night on Instagram Live at Graybo's_cards. You can check out graybo's.co. If you want to check out some more of their product, I highly recommend that you do that. You can also get our premium content free for a year at nooffseason.com. I really, really want you to do that. We've put a lot into that premium offering lately, everybody. A lot going into that. We've got a lot of contributors now. Some of our audience members are contributors. Chad Gill is a huge contributor. The sports card Dr. Chad Gill. Fire content there from all of our contributors, Lefty McKee included, myself. Shout out to Ryan Painter. He's a new one. Ryan Hoffman. Shout out to Michael Miller, killing the game. Morgan Thomes. A lot of great contributors out there. You know who you are. New one, Joseph Torviso in the house. let's see. I'm missing a few guys, so I apologize for that. But yeah, get our free content at nooffseason.com. Premium content free for a year. Email me at paul@nooffseason.com to find out how. And we're going to hook you up. So we're still waiting for the Lefty, but I'm going to jump into my L of the week here. Talk about a couple different things. In general, I've been breaking even on a lot of transactions on eBay. Cards that I bought at card shows. I just sold that Maxi that I bought from Farmer Joe not too long ago and broke even on it. Sold it on eBay. Sold it for a little bit higher than what I bought it for. But when you get the fees and everything taken out of it, it's a wash. So initially that's a bit of an L, but when you think about it, you know, if you're breaking even and you're moving cards on eBay, you are upping your profile to a certain extent. You're bringing in more customers. I see it as a little bit of a customer acquisition for the eBay store. So not necessarily an L, but just kind of wanted to hit on that fact that I've been breaking even on a lot of my cards. L of the week seems like Chad Gill. He's not joining the show today, so that's an L of the week. It's just going to be Lefty and I, but don't worry. We've got some insights from Chad that he sent in. And Lefty and I are still going to bring it strong. But seems like an L of the week for Chad is that it's snowing in Wisconsin on May 1st. And we feel for you, Chad. Oh, my shoes, of course, is in the house. Shoes, great to see you. Good morning. And Ryan Baruski in the house. Welcome to May. Snow in Wisconsin. Yeah. Brian Steeler 714. Good morning to Brian Steeler 714. We love you. Card collecting brothers in the house for sure. Evan Bell in the house. That's a guy I was missing. New contributor to nooffseason.com. Evan Bell bringing the heat with some write-ups. Love it. All right, everybody. Michael Foster. First time on the live stream. Been a podcast listener for a while now. Thank you, Michael Foster. Good to have you. Yes, shoes. We've got not only the usuals, but we've got Michael Foster. New name in the house. Michael, good to see you. And don't worry, we're going to bring it strong in our audience Q&A section today of the show. So All right, I'll get into my L of the week. We're still waiting for Lefty. That's an L. L of the week is that we're still waiting for Lefty. But here he is. Here's the Lefty. And wait a minute. We're going to go back a segment in the show here. Not quite ready for the L of the week, because as I bring in the Lefty, for those of you watching, you will notice there's something new on his head, just like there's something new on my head. Lefty, what's up, brother? How you doing?
What's up, dude? Had a muddy puppy mess going on here for a little bit, but sorry I'm late.
No worries. We got all the usuals in the house, plus some new names, welcoming everybody into the live stream. And for those of you listening in the replay on Apple and Spotify, Lefty and I are sporting new era 5950 fitted Sports Card Strategy Show custom hats. Lefty, do you like your hat?
5950 is my favorite hat, dude. I have like 50 of them.
I know. It's the only hat I wear, to be honest. Yeah, the new
me,
era.
Me too, really.
Fitted. 7 1/8. Lefty's got a big dome, 7 1/3. So he's sporting
7 3/8. Boy.
Yeah, you're right. 7 3/8. I got that wrong. 7 3/8. So, all right. Well, if you guys want a fitted hat, Sports Card Strategy Show custom fitted hat, email me at paul@nooffseason.com. I'll preface this. It's not going to be easy to get one because they're pretty expensive because they're custom. Lefty's wearing the Ada 2. The Ada 2. My son Max has the other one at 7 3/8. I'm sporting the Ada 2 white here. And then I've got the other Ada 2 black. So there's literally only 6 of them. If you guys want one, email me at paul@nooffseason.com. I'll tell you how you can get one.
You got to beg him for months.
Yeah, no, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. We're going to make you earn your fitted hat here at nooffseason.com. But Lefty, other than your puppy mess, what was your L of the week?
Wow, I mean, I got to focus on sports cards here for a second. But L of the week, man, I got skunked on my first Bowman break. I got in there and I was like super pumped, had a team I wasn't super excited about, but I was like, okay, maybe I'm going to get something. Just ended up walking away with paper. So no hits or whatever. So that's obviously an L, because breaking is a cheap way to get into some expensive product, but at the same time you run the risk of, sometimes walking away with nothing. And unfortunately that's just the way it is. The break spot wasn't that expensive, and so it was okay. But, you know, I did walk away with nothing on my first Bowman break. We talked about this last week, but I was starting to bid on a Candace Parker rookie card during the show. Found one that I liked, so 2008. At the time, I think it was like $50 or something like that. Followed it all the way up, and I thought this thing was mine. And with like a minute and a half left, it was like $40 under the most recent eBay comp. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to put $1 higher than the eBay comp and then 30 cents more than that, you know, because that's what we do around here. We put weird numbers and then we just let it rip. So with 3 seconds left, I'm like, boom, got it in. Actually, I think I did it in like 1 second or two or whatever. And so, I'm waiting, like the little spinny wheel, and I lose by $1.50. Somebody else had like put in that same crazy number, but they just went like $2 over the.
All right, everybody, let us know if it was you, listeners, because Lefty kind of let it slide on the show last week that he was bidding on this Candace Parker. So let us know if you sniped Lefty. If you sniped Lefty, I'll get you a hat. You got to prove that you sniped Lefty.
It's a reward system now. Okay.
That's cool. Snipe Lefty, get a hat.
I'm going to have to keep my bids really under wraps.
Greeny green, Merry Monday to you. Sorry about that, L Lefty. Anything else you want to share on the L?
No.
Barusky says he sniped him. So, Barusky, you probably deserve a hat. I should probably just. Barusky, email me your hat size.
He messages me quite a bit. I like Barusky.
Shoes probably deserves a hat too. You guys know who you are. All right. So, L of the week, anything else you want to share, Lefty, before I get into mine?
Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay.
Nothing bigger than, Nothing bigger than losing a Candace Parker auto by a dollar.
Okay, well, that's not a huge L of the week, so I don't feel too bad for you.
Yeah, I didn't get to spend $225 or whatever it was.
Yeah. Now, while you were cleaning up your puppy mess, I was just kind of sharing with everybody that I've been breaking even on a lot of my transactions lately, and I don't know that that's an L. If some of them feel like an L, like that Maxi I bought from Farmer Joe, I sold that for about the same price that I bought it for. It was pretty much a wash. There's been some other transactions that have gone very similarly. A lot of the Anthony Edwards autos I bought earlier on in the season, had them graded, they came back nines, flipped them for about the same price that I bought them for. So it feels like those feel like an L, but I think in the big scheme of things, they're probably not necessarily L's, just because if you're not losing money and you're, I see it as hopeful customer acquisition for your eBay store kind of a thing, yeah. A little bit more volume, a little bit more awareness. I've been doing some things with the packaging to sort of promote the show and nooffseason.com from within the packaging and make it a little bit better customer experience. So hopefully those things will result in more of a long-term W, but in the meantime, it's kind of like, it feels like an L, but my L that I wanted to share is the Bucks being bounced by the Heat from the first round of the NBA playoffs. To me, that's a personal L because the Bucks are a team. They're one of my favorite teams. They have been since Giannis started playing really well back in like 2014, 2015. And Giannis is my favorite player. He's my favorite active player. So it's a bummer for me. As a guy who holds a lot of Giannis cards, looking to sell during a crescendo of like the NBA finals, that's an L. Having cards listed for Giannis already that people are bidding on in anticipation of, you know, getting into the next series, that's an L. So, you know, I know there was some good response to how Giannis handled in the post-game interview, things like that, talking about the season not being a total disappointment. I think, for the most part, everybody loves Giannis. I know not everybody loves Giannis, of course. That's hyperbole. But I do think for the most part, he's like, it's hard to argue that he's not one of the top five guys in the hobby right now. Chad even wrote something up independently of my feelings on Giannis and sent it over. Curious to everyone's thoughts on Giannis in the comments. Let us know. I'm not a Miami Heat guy. Yeah, I agree with Shoes. Shoes says the Heat have been making upsets all NBA season. No surprise they knocked out a top-tier team. I agree. I mean, Jimmy Butler, he can ball with anybody. I'm just not a fan, so to me, that's my L of the week. I really, really would have loved to see the Bucks advance, but let me know in the comments how you feel about, you know, lefties L. Are you getting in Bowman 23 breaks? Like, are you getting slaughtered like lefty, or are you coming out okay? Let us know how things are going for you guys. My W of the week, I did pick up. And here's the thing, guys. I'm seeing this more and more myself as I've been able to go to card shows. I've gone to a few card shows in the last few months, the National here in Nashville. So the Nashville card show, but the big version of it. I've gone to Culture Collision in Atlanta and then Mint Collective in Vegas. All three of them, great shows. Picked up this Pedri 2021 Topps Football Festival PSA 10. It's out of 49. It's a rookie. So I paid $83 at the Mint Collective on April 1st. This is a quick flip. Sold it on eBay over the weekend. Buyer paid $154.96. So I made about $70 on this transaction. It's out of 49 PSA 10, but it's this Steve Aoki special set. Bought it because it was serial numbered, didn't want to buy another base PSA 10 of Pedri. And I think the in-show purchases where I was able, actually, so what I did was I bought this as part of three cards. And that's why I think I got it at 83. So I was able to make more profit margin buying it at a show where I didn't have to pay sales tax, didn't have to pay shipping, paid in cash, and was able to negotiate with the seller at the table to bring it down a little bit more, and got another couple cards, which will hopefully be future W's of the week for me on the show. One of them sold for a profit, but waiting for the buyer to pay. So I'm not going to unveil that just yet, but feeling really good about these kinds of things, Lefty.
Yeah, that's not a bad profit. I mean, you almost doubled your what you spent on it. You know, that's nice. Yeah, I think I have another friend who I was talking to earlier this week that he was doing like $1 to $10 cards, probably like, probably 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just naturally progressed, and it was doing like probably $5,000 to $10,000 cards about 6 months, about 10 months ago.
Naturally progressed. Tell me about it.
I mean, so he invested a bunch of money. He quit his job. He started doing his business, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, then he was like coming. We were talking the other day, and he was like, yeah, I actually don't do that anymore. I went back to the smaller transactions. He was like, I just liked the relationships more. I liked working with the people on that side of it a little bit better. It was more about the athlete rather than like the money invested, blah, 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 which I totally see and understand completely. It's more about the cool looking card or stuff like that, or you're engaging with like dads and their kids or something like that. On the higher end, this show is called, you know, the Sports Card Strategy Show, right? So we are talking about the big cards, but at the same time, like, it becomes a commodity, and it really just is a dollar sign attached to it. So we have to back up a little bit and realize that these are just pieces of cardstock that we love or that our favorite players are on.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you said that. I want to piggyback on that for a sec, because I've noticed a couple of things where it's hard. I think that this changes. And there, it's not always going to be like a blanket statement where you can apply this to everything, right? So what I'm about to say, I don't necessarily know that like all higher end cards are going to happen this way. I think that there's going to be player performance that's going to dictate some things. I think the type of card is going to dictate some things, the grade, all sorts of things, right? But what I'm seeing personally in my transactions is that any card over the eBay authenticity guarantee limit, which is $300. And I think that that's just coincidental. I don't think that it actually has anything to do with this, but I think anything over the $300 mark where I bought in and or it's going to sell for over $300, I'm finding it harder to profit on those cards. I think that those are the ones that I'm getting, that I'm selling for about the same price that I bought them for. But the wins that I've been sharing, you'll notice they're more like selling for under $200 and having bought for, you know, I don't know, somewhere under what I paid for, right? Sometimes under $100, sometimes. But I think that I'm seeing the profit on cards that are the lower dollar transactions, like what you're talking about with your story from the guy that you talked to. And the thing that I don't love about continuing to move forward with trying to buy like the $300, $400, $500, $600 cards and then flip them for a profit is A, it's going to be harder to get the profit margin because you're buying in at a higher price point. But selling through the eBay, when a card hits the eBay authenticity guarantee, personally, I don't like that I have to send it to the authenticator and not directly to the customer, because now I can't provide the customer experience within the packaging that I want to provide. And I know not everybody's going to be in that boat. I might be unique in that, but with what I'm doing, what we're doing at nooffseason.com with the Sports Card Strategy Show, part of the reason I'm buying and selling cards is not only because it's A, because I love it. I really, really love doing it. It's fun. B, it's to grow the brand. It's to have the experience to put out the content. I don't feel like I can put out the content without doing it. And then it's to grow the brand. And so part of growing the brand is providing a quality customer experience within the packaging. And so if I have to send it to the authenticator, and I think this probably applies to a lot of you guys too, you guys probably want to do this to a certain extent. Throw in extra cards, throw in a discount code. I know Rob Masora at Bob's Card Market and the Card Treasury, he's more the lower dollar card type seller, right? And that allows him to provide the customer experience that he wants. When you're shipping to the authenticator for a higher dollar card, you lose that. Now eBay takes over their experience. They're sending it to you in that really nice eBay wallet type folder thing, right? So I don't know. I'm feeling you on the lower dollar card transaction for a lot of reasons, but I'd love the audience's thoughts on this. So definitely chime in, leave a comment, hit us up on social media or email us paul@nooffseason.com. I'd love to know what you guys think about this.
I would say that probably my most recent transactions, it might've been Chad that I was talking to about this with, is like, I've had a really good experience spending between $200 and $600. So actually, I think, like, especially after the indie sale, I turned all that into like 13 cards or something like that. I think we talked about that already.
Yeah.
But I had 2, 3, 4, 6 verification cards that came, you know, like, and I'm counting the one that I got in December as well. And so personally, I love having them come in the eBay thing, like, because that means like, all right, you just did something serious, you know. I enjoy opening that thing up, you know, seeing Alex Morgan in there in all of her glory, you know, just, you know, bursting with radiance. And it does, like, to me, when I buy a card, I know this is weird, but like, I don't care about whoever puts something in it, like, right. This is what I care about.
That's,
you know,
true.
Like,
that's true.
And so now I know that a lot of people are here for different reasons, and like, people are enjoying it because they got things going on. Oh, it's kind of, you know, like, the people, we're all here primarily for different motives, but primarily because we love this as kids, you know. Yeah. And now we're just bigger kids, you know.
Yes.
And
that's so true.
But for me, like, I'm just trying to, what I want to do is I'm trying to create storage of value. So like that, like, for me, when I sell a maxi, if I break even, I'm like, oh, sick. You know, this is $500 I had previously that now I have again, you know?
Yeah.
So the bad part is when you're like, oh, that was my Giannis auto was $1,500 and now it's $6, you know? And so, no, that's not going to happen with Giannis.
Yeah, but that's true. That's true. Like, I think I was talking with Mike Lacusta on the Golf Card Strategy Show about the same concept, where in what other world can you buy something and enjoy it for a long time and then, like, talking
the
months,
same money
years,
about,
and then get the same money back? You, yeah, can't. I think I said this with Mike. I was like, you can't go buy a bag of chips and then, like, eat half the bag or three quarters of the bag, really enjoy yourself, and then sell the bag of chips for basically 95% of what you bought it for. Like, yeah, it's just, that's just not happening. And so that's basically what we're doing. So, yeah, I just want to chime in real quick, 'cause I think the audience is resonating with this discussion. Derek Kunzman back in the house. Good to see you.
What's up, Derek?
This conversation reinforces that there are so many lanes in the hobby, which makes it excellent. I was listening to content this weekend and wrote down consolidate and level up. Yeah. I think, like, sometimes we're going to be in a mode where, like Lefty wants to liquidate an ND for a lot of other cards because he might be at a point in his life where he has time to and or desire to acquire a bunch of different cards and sort of play with them and decide what to do with them and make different plays. But to Derek's point, we might be at a different you know, scenario where we don't have a lot of time and we're sick of dealing with a lot of cards, but we still want to be in the hobby and make plays. And so we're going to consolidate and try to make more money. So it is really fun to see that everybody's at different points at different times. And I think that that's why this works, right? I mean, in order to sell a Tyrese Maxey for $500, you have to have somebody like Derek who's looking to basically put together a bunch of cards, sell them all in a lot or something like that, and piece all that together and then go spend $500 on the maxi. You know what I mean? So I think that we're all in a in an interesting situation at different times. And that's why this show works too, because we can have conversations about it. So Derek says, as someone relatively new to the hobby who spent time in the $1 to $20 range looking to get up to that 100, that's great, man. Keep us posted on how that's going. And definitely,
I mean, we both were there not like that's the end goal, which Derek, I think is what you're saying. There's so many avenues, you know, people can spend their whole career making $5 to $25 flips, and that's 5x-ing things. It's keeping that in perspective. But if you're a baseball guy, for instance, like Bowman autos are about $100 most of the time. You know, like Bowman Chrome autos are about $100 for the regular players. I mean, obviously the bigger ones are much more expensive than that. But it's a fun level to get into, that $100 range. Like I remember the first time I bought a card over $100, and I was like, holy crap, dude, I just spent $150 on a Shohei card.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, what am I doing? And then 2 months later I sold it for like $350. So it's like, I was like, okay, this is great, I love everything about this, you know.
But in my first year, I was buying a bunch of cards at like the $10 to $100 range, which I know is a wide range, but some of them were PSA 10s, and that's why that was the range. Some of them were raw, some of them were all the way up to PSA 10s. And I remember thinking like, oh, well, I should be able to just sell this PSA 10 for more than I bought it for, blah, blah, blah. And then learning real fast that it just doesn't happen that way. And then I remember Lefty coming in talking about O'Neill Cruz a little over a year ago. And I remember looking at O'Neill Cruz and texting Lefty like, hey, there's this PSA 10 Bowman First Chrome Auto for like $700. And I just remember like absolutely crapping my pants, and Lefty being like, hey man, if you want to make money on some of these cards, like
you want to ball out like that, like,
much, you know? And I was like, that was like a crap my pants moment for sure, but ended up making some money on that. And yeah, it's fun to see what works for people and what doesn't work for people. And that's literally what we're doing on this show. We're just talking about what doesn't work for us, what does work for us, and trying to help this entire community find out what does work for all of us. And I think that's like Derek and Ryan Borusky in the comments here, and Greeny Green are all kind of talking about how cool it is that there's different ways of doing it, right? Like Greeny Green says he likes the rookies with potential that don't have the potential baked into the price. So yeah, like, I mean, if you get good at doing that kind of thing. Yeah. Lefty and I really, really are with you on that one, Greeny Green. That's kind of our number one way of doing it. And then we've got Chad, obviously, who's come in over the last several months, the doctor, according to Borusky, the doctor Chad has come in and basically said, like, here's all these other ways of basically making money on this. Sometimes Chad's pointing out, like, this is a high gem rate. This is also a high PSA 9 rate. So if you can buy, and here's a buy-in price raw where it makes sense, and to go bulk, right? Now that the PSA has been back into the bulk game at a lower price for a while now. And then, of course, there's the cracking of the slabs that we all have come to know and love on this show. So many different ways of doing it. So many different sports, different athletes. And Borusky's right. I never understood the stock market. I still don't. I don't know how to
pick. They're ringing bells over there. I don't know.
I don't know what the hell's going on. Like,
there's a bull statue.
Prices are dropping and rising, and I don't even know why. But with sports cards, that's where I do know why. And that's why I'm here. So, all right. Well,
and we love that you're here, Paul.
Well, I love that all of you guys are here. I love that Lefty's here after the puppy mess. And I love that all of you guys are here. So, okay. We're going to share some audience wins and losses real quick. And then we're going to get on to,
Shoes. I have totally done that before.
So it looks like, Shoes has an L, right? So the L is messed up. Big time,
man. Yeah,
betting on totally a Don Russ rated rookie Jokic 215. Multitasking Shoes, good for you. We like the multitasking, but what we don't like is that he tried to take the bid up to $19.49, took it up to $1,949. Lefty, you've done this.
I have done this. I did this on a Bowman auto one time where I was trying to bid like $50 and I bid $500. And I definitely did not have $500 to spend. And I was just like, if somebody bids me up, like, what do I do? And I wasn't like versed enough to know that you can message people on eBay at the time. And so I just was like, I watched it like a hawk. I was just like, obviously I'm winning this auto because the it should go somewhere around $50. But if somebody just balls out, I'm going to owe $250. And so luckily the auto went for like $53, but I won it. But you know, and so it was just like, but I could have won it for 500, and I was just like, what do I do? But anyway,
yeah,
luckily
so there's no way to, well, so Shoes said that he messaged the guy,
yeah,
which is great.
Yeah.
Can you not you can't cancel your bid. You have to message the seller and ask them to cancel your bid.
I think they have to cancel the listing.
Oh, so it's really screwed.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
Shoes, we got your back, basically.
I've so done that.
Yeah, we've done it. I haven't. Glefty has. Greeny Green's done it. Borowski's gonna go take care of the guy for you.
The last thing I'll say about the big transaction, I just thought of this. When you win at that level, like when you hit a card like your O'Neill Cruz, you're able to have like all of a sudden you're just like, crap, okay, all right, it's just 2x or whatever. But then a 2xing on a big card is a freaking awesome thing. You know, like I 2x'd on the I 2.7 on all my indie transactions, but I came back with like $5,000 that I didn't have in sports cards, which materialized into into 13 cards, a new kitchen countertop, and then some debt recovery on my credit card. So it was just like that was a big win, and it allowed me to get into sports that I hadn't previously been into. So I've talked a lot about risking, and like we kind of all have our strategies. Like Paul is definitely like interested in taking like marginal thing and like making flips from old PSAs to new PSAs, and like you're doing some things like all out in the
I'm trying a bunch of different stuff to see what works. Yeah.
And then we got Dr. Crack, who's like got all this stuff going on. And then what I do is I just like prospect and then try to sell it when they're in the majors. But what I try to do is I move from risky assets into storages of value, because I want to have like a storage of value portfolio someday where I just have I have a lot of funds that I could potentially like buy a house with someday in terms with like selling my sports cards. So like I moved into some different sports and things like that. And I'm so afraid to crack this one, by the way. Like, oh man, like I bought it so that I could crack it and do a Dr. Crack with this 9.5. But now I'm just like looking at it. I'm like, oh, it's so pretty though. Like, I don't even know. Like,
do I do anything with slabs? I agree. Like, I get a nice SGC slab in it. I'm like, oh man, this is actually pretty nice. Like,
I know.
I got this Trinity Rodman.
Let's go. 9.5.
It's a blue. I got it for like $30.
Nice. Mine's purple. So,
yeah.
I think it's going to go well, especially after Mallory Swanson goes down. I think Trinity is going to play a lot. So,
yeah, but that was well said in terms of just having and a great discussion, audience. Thank you for contributing to that discussion right there. Keep us posted, everybody. Let us know how things are going with what you're trying. I want to know what you're trying, how it's working for you, how you've kind of, evolved your strategy over the years. And it's great.
I would love to talk to somebody who only trades one player. Like, I know they're out there.
I know they're out there.
The white whale.
Chad's the closest to being that. I feel like Chad Gill, who, by the way, is in the comments telling Shoes that you can retract your bid. So maybe we'll follow up on that later and help Shoes retract his bid with how to do that if he can't find out how to do it. But I feel like Chad's the closest to doing like some sort of just tunnel vision strategy. You know what I mean? Where it's like I know Chad does.
Yeah, just got like one dude.
Well, he's got over a million sports cards. So he definitely doesn't only trade one player, but I feel like he goes different time periods only focused on one thing. Right. So
yeah.
I don't know, but I agree, Lefty. I think it would be nice to have to hear from somebody who literally only does one player, because you and I, ever since we started doing the show together, have talked about that concept.
Like, and, it's possible.
Yeah, totally. And so This is great content for the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. By the way, I skipped last week because I was traveling. I probably won't skip another Thursday for a long time. So coming up this Thursday, another episode of the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. I already have submissions that I'm excited about, so tune into that. And if you want to be on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell, talking about any of this, whether or not you have it flushed out, whether you just want to be like, hey, guys, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm thinking of doing. I've just tried this. I'm not sure if it's working yet. Or if you're like, you know, kind of answering Lefty's question, like, hey, I've only done this for the last X amount of time. Here's how it's working for me. That would be amazing. So everybody would love it. Would love to continue to hear from you. Thanks, everybody. And Lefty, did you give your win of the week yet? I don't think you have.
No, I just went off on some other something. My win of the week is the MLB is wild right now. Like, we've got teams that are good that should not be good. We've got good teams that are not good. We've got teams that are really, really bad, which is funny to watch. And then we've got just the prospects. We've got players injured all over the place. It's just so fun to watch right now because it's something that is what you don't expect. You know, the Rangers are amazing. The Pirates are amazing. We've got teams like the Red Sox that are terrible. The White Sox are terrible. Like, we just got people all over the place. The Dodgers are, like, not winning a lot of games. It's just, there's just a lot going on, and it's fun to watch. So that's a win right now because when there's a lot going on, a lot of different cards are moving. I think that's the, like, when there's chaos in sports, typically there's chaos in the sports card market, and when there's chaos in the sports card market, the little guys usually win. Like the people like us on the bottom of the totem pole are usually winning because we are have a higher risk tolerance in our portfolios, you know, than like everybody, some guy who just balled out on Giannis only, you know, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so like with guys that have like had a lot of risk tolerance and they got a bunch of guys like in the bottom of their portfolios, you know, they got guys like, you know, Edward Julian. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know he's like he's a chase in this 23 Bowman product, but like what I'm saying is like if you had some of his stuff from other like elites or something like Panini products, and you were just like, oh man, I think this guy's gonna be pretty good, and then all of a sudden he just starts balling out because the MLB is wild right now, and then you're just like, hey, I'm gonna sell this card for 7x, you know, like we're just gonna ball, but that makes it fun right now. But I think another thing that I'm excited about is I have heard wind. Everybody's got to know this. I believe Indy is going to get called up soon. He has had a little bit of an arm strain, but he's back in the portfolio, and I think that the Pirates are going to call him up soon, which is going to be kind of fun. You know, like I am pretty much out of Indy. I have one card left that I just basically am keeping as a memento, but I am very interested in his future. And I could see a case where I just end up flip trading Indy for his whole career, but he is going to get called up soon, which I think is really fun. So we're going to be able to, everyone's going to be able to see Indy for the first time, what I've been watching in his minor league games the whole time, you know? And so that's going to be fun to see. And then Lando Norris in the points this weekend, guys. Like, Baku is one of my favorite races on the F1 schedule. Usually it sets up for an insane race with a bunch of reds or a bunch of yellow and red flags. We didn't really have much of that. There was only two yellow flags, and it was because the horrible, whatever his name is, just went straight on a turn. I forget his name. But the AlphaTauri rookie. I'm sure you know what it is.
Yeah, it's not coming to me off the
top. DeVries, maybe? Is that it?
Oh, Nick DeVries. Yeah,
He's driving terrible.
I didn't watch the race. So if I got that wrong, everybody, please let us know. But a win of the week that was just an L of the week. Now it's a win.
Bid retracted.
Shoes got his bid retracted. Congratulations, Shoes.
Congrats, Shoes.
Just real quick, I want to address something in the comments. I don't want to take too much time doing this. I'm going to have one more win of the week, and then we'll get into buying, selling, and audience Q&A. Greeny Green, because he is such a loyal audience member, he says, how are we 30 minutes in and there's no mention of Hasbulla?
I did see a sick Hasbulla card this week.
Yeah, I think that's what Greeny Green's referring to. I don't know, Greeny Green. I love you, man, but I have zero interest in that. Sometimes I'm scrolling through Instagram and I'm like, okay, this is stupid. And I don't like the hobby. I love the hobby on Instagram. I mean, that's part of why I got into it and why it's so strong is because there is a extremely strong sports cards presence on Instagram. But the plethora of what people care about runs the gamut between shit like this Hasbulla card and stuff that we're talking about. And I love you, Greeny Green, but I just don't have any interest in that card or any of that. And it could be because I'm just not a UFC.
25 grand.
Yeah. I know that stuff like that's notable, but it just doesn't get me fired up. You know, it just doesn't, lefty. But I mean, Ziggy knows in the house. What's up, Ziggy? Good morning to you.
What's up, Zig?
I agree. Exciting days in sports and the hobby. Would love you to elaborate at some point. But yes, we've been talking about that as well. Greeny Green says not interested in buying either, but he's okay. Fair point.
That's fair true. Point.
I agree. Bringing attention to the hobby is a good thing. I see where you're going with it. Okay. I guess you could argue. Did anybody watch the? I have not watched it, but there's the Netflix show with Ken Golden and a bunch of other people on collectibles. I haven't watched it yet. I would assume that that would be just as big of a deal, if not bigger than Hasbulla, bringing attention to the hobby. I guess these are all wins of the week. So Greeny Green, good stuff. Good contribution. One more win. I got to give a shout out to an audience member named Tim Larson. Tim is helping me put together a booth at the National. This is a big thing for NoOffseason.com and the Sports Card Strategy Show because I was not anticipating this. I made a comment on one of our shows about a couple months ago, maybe, that saying I wanted to do something at the National. I'm obviously going to be there, and I wanted to do something like a show from the National or an audience meetup at the National for Sports Card Strategy Show, NoOffseason.com. Tim Larson's coming through in a big way, everybody. Tim and I are partnering together on essentially sharing a booth at the National this year. So I called Lefty on Monday night after our show last week, and Lefty is going to be there with me. We are going to do some live interactive shows from the National, from Tim's booth. It's going to be a co-branded booth with Tim's company and NoOffseason.com. I think this is a huge deal, huge win of the week. Audience members, we want you to show up. We want you to come be a part of what we're doing at the National. More on that to come. Lefty, anything to add on that?
I'm very pumped. I think like this is a cool opportunity for us, cool opportunity for our fans to have like a place where we can come together and have like SCSS or whatever we're calling it, an SCSS booth.
Yes.
And so I'm excited to meet all of you. I know that you guys have met Paul at some places, but I haven't met anyone, I don't think, other than Paul himself.
I've met SSI, met a couple other great people.
Man, SSI coming through the booth would just be special for me.
Yeah. Yeah, Lefty and I have met each other at the National last year. We want everybody to come to the National. We'll try to help you in any way we can. So if you're struggling trying to get there or whatever, let me know. But let me know at paul@nooffseason.com. We want to have an audience meetup at the National. And now, breaking news, thanks to Tim Larson, we're going to have a booth there. So we want to bring everybody in to support Tim and what he has going on with his company. More on that to come. All right, let's get into who we are buying. So Lefty, I'm going to let you go first on this one. Who are you buying?
I'm continuing to try to like buy some stuff that's a little out of my comfort zone. I think over the past couple of months, I've tried to buy things that are not normal for me. For instance, Tiger Woods, Alex Morgan. I mean, Alex Morgan's a little bit more normal for me because I buy soccer cards. But I last week, I was kind of hunting down some Candace Parker. I've really been interested in Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark.
Because, oh, I you actually meant Caden Clark for a second.
No, Caitlin Clark. I've really been interested in Caitlin Clark, even though she doesn't enter the WNBA until next year. I think she's going to be a stud. Yep. You know, there's some like marginal like stuff around her stuff similar to the plays we made for Wembanyama, stuff like that. She has some Sports Illustrated cards. Anyway, I'm just trying to do some things that are different. So I've been buying like a little bit out of my comfort zone, but not like in a crazy way. But like, for instance, there's a Caitlin Clark 2001 NCAA Iowa Riverwalk promo giveaway. I know that's a lot going on, but let me show you this card. This is a card that I'm interested in that I've been looking at. Let me see. All right. There we go. So this card right here, pretty cool. I mean, it's like, it's got the Iowa logo on it. It's clearly a giveaway. I don't know. Like, I'm like, I don't know if this is like normal or not. Haven't looked at comps or anything, but I'm like, this is the kind of thing that I would like to get and to have when she balls out and goes into.
Not a bad idea. $29.99.
Yeah. $29. You know, like her. Her the other stuff that she has is like, well, I guess that doesn't help you, but the other stuff she has is around $50. So like a $29.99 with the Iowa Hawkeyes is clearly her, you know. And so I'm interested in that. Maybe end up snagging this one, maybe not. My Sharif Sanders is still out here. I've done like one or two.
Shadur?
Yes, Shadur Sanders.
Shadur Sanders. Wait, who's sorry, Sharif, can we go Sanders? Back to I don't know. Can we go back to Caitlin Clark real quick? Because I would challenge you a little bit to go SI for kids instead.
I just wanted to spend less than that.
Fair. That's fair. But I'm not saying you need to go. But like, it's not going to be that much more to get an SI. I don't think. I mean, this is at third. Let's see what these have been selling for. Here's. Auctions ending like later today. I mean, they could. Here's one $39.99, $37.52, like $29. I'm just saying, I would rather give you 10 to 20 extra dollars to go in on a SI for kids.
I mean, I probably will get the SI for kids, but I think having the rare giveaway card,
okay,
that not a lot of people will have is a cool thing. You know, but
I'm anyway. Just going to play devil's advocate with you and use your own strategy against you here. Don't you think the Riverwalk card is going to be like trying to convince somebody to buy that, perhaps, where you don't have to convince somebody to buy the SI for kids?
Yes, in a way.
Okay.
You are correct.
Okay.
But I also love the idea that nobody has that card.
Fair enough.
But obviously, Caitlin Clark, still risky investment because she's still a college basketball.
But player. I love the idea of buying Caitlin Clark. I really do. I think that's a great call. I would just buy the SI for kids. But
so this is something I think. I talked to somebody. I talk to so many people about sports cards these days. I don't know which conversation is which because everybody's profile picture is like a 20 to 50 year old white male. And so it's like they all just like blend together. But I talked to, so if this is you, I apologize. I have
a demographic.
I apologize. It might be Ryan Borusky because I talked to him this weekend. But we talked about Jordan Love and how is it a good time to buy him, expecting that he's not going to be a great quarterback, but expecting that there's going to be a hype at the NFL season. So I do believe that it is probably a good time to buy, but not right now. I would wait like a week or two after the draft hype goes down a little bit more. But I do think that they didn't draft anybody. I think that was the main thing that we were going to see with the Packers is, do they really believe in Love, or are they going to move in the draft for somebody like, you know,
I really wish I had the share drop right there.
Just the share drop.
Do you believe in love and not the love?
I thought you meant S-H-A-R-E, and I was like, I don't know what he's talking about.
Do they believe in love?
So I don't believe in love, but I do believe that he's going to be a commodity. So if you are going to buy into him in June, sell him in September. probably would be able to make a profit on that. I also am interested in a marginal player that I think is going to do really well on a new team. DeAndre Swift moves from the Lions to the Eagles. I know he's got a lot of injury history, but I love his play style, and having him as an electric back with Jalen Hurts could be phenomenal for Philly. They did really well in the draft. They obviously are already a good team. I could see Swift being a next step for this Eagles team that's incredible already. I would be interested in potentially buying into Swift cards right now. I don't know if I'm going to, because I don't have the capital that I would want to put into. Like, I've got all my capital tied into cards right now, so I don't know if I could move for a Swift card that would be profitable, if that makes sense. But I think that it could be a play that I'd be interested in looking at is DeAndre Swift, that he's on an electric team now. He's an electric pass catcher. He's going to score touchdowns. He's going to do things on prime time that people are like, holy crap, this dude's good. But he's got to stay healthy. That's the main thing for him, is he's got to stay healthy. So he's another guy that I'm interested in buying. And then what I'm actively doing, I am actively doing this for all of our audience. You know, the 25 people that love to message me every week. I am buying Spencer Jones Chrome Auto Lots. What I'm going to try to do, and this is a question that I was going to have for Chad, but he's not on today. I'm like, okay, we talked about our high gem rates earlier. This guy has a bunch of redemption autos right now, so he doesn't actually have any autos out. So what I'm trying to do is buy a ton of his Chrome First lots, and I'm going to send them all to PSA at the same time, just Spencer Jones only. So I'm trying to buy a bunch of Spencer Jones Chromes for between $5 and $8 a card. And then, if I can get it in there for $16, that's $21 to $24 invested per card. I think a PSA 10 could sell around $40-$50. That's a move I'm trying to make. So if anybody has 23 Bowman that they have broken them and they're wanting to, they'll sell me a lot of Spencer Jones Chromes. I am buying those actively, so please reach out to me.
I think that's smart, Lefty. I like that a lot. I like your Jordan Love idea. He's a tricky one because I think if you've owned him for a long time, now would be a great time to sell. But yeah. I think if you are looking at making a profit off of the fact that he's going to be the Packers starter this year, a great time, hopefully, to buy would be in June when no one, in theory, you have to wait till June rolls around. We're only 1 month away. So it's actually, I think Lefty, when he said 2 weeks from now, is actually probably right in that same pocket. But if you wait until like mid-June, in theory, it's the NBA Finals, NHL and baseball have taken up a lot of the attention, and not as much attention is given to the NFL during that particular time of year. And so maybe you enter a pocket of Jordan Love, buy lower, and then flip in August. I really like that. I love your Spencer. So yeah, like what to do when there's a redemption auto of a guy that you really want to invest in initially. I like your idea of buying one lot or multiple lots of Spencer Jones, and then being able to assess which ones make sense to get graded. I think that does reek of a Dr. Chad Gill play, and I would love for you to keep us posted on how that goes. I think something I never really thought about, but I just want to get your quick take on before I get to who I'm buying. Knowing that there's like redemption autos, if you think about Spencer Jones, I would not recommend doing this, by the way, but I'm just trying to carve out a potential path to profit here in the long term.
Okay.
Spencer Jones being a prospect, in theory, he's not going to get a call up for a while. I know redemptions suck, but in theory, the redemption would go for less than the actual auto if it were out right now. So if you like a prospect long-term like Spencer Jones, does it make sense to, in theory, buy a redemption for less, get it redeemed, and then when you hopefully get it back by the time you then would want to flip it? Is that a play at all? just
I think it could be a play other than the risk of like, what if Spencer never signs a card and you're just hit there with a $700 piece of paper?
Yeah. What happens there? I mean, you end up getting something in theory of equal or lesser value. I don't know.
You do. The Topps says that you get something of equal value, but people are getting redemptions that, you know, subs back, and they're getting like a pack of Bowman cards. And you're just like, this is not $700 worth of cards.
I see.
You know? And so it's just like,
that's a huge risk then.
Yeah. Spencer Jones autos right now, I am not touching with a 10-foot pole, because that's all that's out there. And so I'm just going to wait, primarily because I was talking to Arm about this earlier this week. He goes, I think he could be like a James Wood type player. And James Wood is on our sports card investor report, you know, like in our baseball rankings. But what we talk about here is like, James Wood is electric, but definitely very closer to the majors, potentially. Spencer Jones came out of Vanderbilt, so he's a college bat, so he could move quickly. But right now, I think what's going to sell faster is there's going to be James Wood autos that you can move faster. Now, James Wood refractor autos were about $330 earlier this week, and there are refractor redemptions of Spencer Jones going for like $700 or $800.
Okay, so like, it's not cheap.
No. So people are chasing Spencer Jones because he's going to be good, and they don't care about the risk of like the redemption. I do care about the risk,
because you can get a Drew Jones for about the same. I mean, maybe not a refractor, but you can get a Drew Jones auto for about that.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I don't think Drew Jones is.
I know you don't love Drew Jones, but if you're comparing the two, I'd rather have the card than the redemption.
I would rather have the card rather than the redemption, yes.
Because you're eliminating that risk. Okay, we're going to keep it moving here. I am buying, I'm still buying Joe Burrow, and Chad Gill has submitted a phenomenal article for the members only, premium members only at nooffseason.com. And it's an analysis of who to buy. Who to buy, sell, or hold from the 2020 quarterback class. So you've got Burrow, Herbert, Tua, Hurts, Love. So it's a timely analysis on all of that. And just a quick snippet of it. You've got Burrow down over the last 30 days, silver prism PSA 10, 2020, down a little bit. Love down that. $167. And you don't see that very often. Tua's up a little bit with his, Prism Silver PSA 10. So great analysis here by Chad. And again, it's for premium members only at nooffseason.com. But don't worry, if you're not one, just email me at paul@nooffseason.com, and I'm going to help you get that for a year for free. So definitely buying Burrow still, buying Tua, according to Chad. And yeah. So let's move on to who we're selling. So I'm going to go first. I am selling Jets players. You know why? You know why, everybody? Get ready for this.
Aaron Rodgers.
Because Aaron Rodgers is all hype. He is going to blow chunks this year. Trust me. Jets fans, I feel bad for you. This is not spewing hate at anybody, Jets fans. This is just straight up analysis. What has this guy done other than be an absolute dick face off the field? I mean, what has Aaron Rodgers done for any NFL team lately other than raise a fuss, get traded, be a prima donna, sell Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, sell them. And if you haven't sold your Aaron Rodgers yet, you're an idiot. This guy is horrible. Trust me, sell Aaron Rodgers. Okay.
So would you be buying Zach Wilson?
I don't know if I'm ready to go that far yet.
Come on.
I don't know if I'm ready to go that far yet because the Zachy boy hasn't really flashed very well. But I would say yes, it's a little bit of me being emotional and hating Aaron Rodgers, but the guy's just not good. He's just not going to do it. And it's all hype right now. So
Are you okay if I just completely disagree with you?
I'm totally fine. I disagreed with you on the Caitlin Clark Iowa promo.
What I think Aaron Rodgers is going to ball in the Jets uniform.
All right.
He's got so many weapons, bro. Like, that Let's team see. Is nasty. I would say that it's a good time to sell him right now.
Yeah. He needs to get out of his own way first. All right. Well, yeah, like, no, let's disagree. Let's disagree every single episode on Aaron Rodgers. That would actually be great. Okay. Lefty disagrees. I want to know what you guys think. Please bombard me in the comments with your Aaron Rodgers thoughts.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to get hurt. That's what I think.
That's weird. That would fall under what I said.
No, he's going to blow chunks. I think he's going to get hurt.
And I think that would qualify as blowing chunks. If you're a Jets fan, that would blow chunks. Okay. Anyway, let's see. One thing I wanted to throw out there real quick is, do you sell Pulisic and Harry Kane based on some of their card prices moving up for transfer hype? This is transfer hype. So this is Lefty's world. Lefty, I'll just let you comment on this. This is from Slab Stocks. Some Pulisic and Kane cards moving up. These are guys that have been down for a while. I think we've even said buy Pulisic, but with some of this transfer hype, some of his cards are up, and then Kane really hasn't moved or anything like that in a while. So what do you do here with these two guys? Do you agree with the potential analysis here from Slabstock saying sell these guys?
I mean, I yes, 100%. If you can capitalize on anything like that, then yes. I would sell Harry Kane right now because Tottenham's not going to – they might make – if they keep him, he's still going to be Harry Kane. If he moves to another team, he's still going to be Harry Kane, and we're going to have a Robert Lewandowski-like situation on our hands where he scores goals, but, like, he's not flashy. He's a poacher. Like, he's just a guy that scores goals. Like, that's his job. Like, but even as the England 10, like, he's – or 9, I guess. He's the England 9. He's going to – score goals, but he's just not a player that people love to invest in. He's a Robert Lewandowski, which is a guy that should be invested in more. Like, what I'm saying is Harry Kane and Robert Lewandowski follow the Jordan Alvarez trajectory. Like, they should be higher priced because of how good they are, but they're just not a flashy player in the media, and so people don't really care about them. Yeah. And so if you can profit off of Harry Kane, then do it. I would still hold on Pulisic. Actually, I am going to hold on Pulisic. I'm not selling my Pulisic yet. Because I either want to confirm a transfer and sell for a little bit higher, or I would love to see him come back and be in the new regime of Chelsea. Chelsea's a mess. So literally their new coach could come in and just want to play Pulisic, or he's going to have a U.S. men's national team moment in the next, you know, couple of months as well, because the Gold Cup and all that is this summer. So I'm not selling Pulisic right now.
Love it. Okay. We'll get into some audience Q&A here. Now we've got some good questions from the audience. But first, actually, one thing I wanted to share is Chad Gill did write another article for nooffseason.com, premium members only. And again, email me at paul@nooffseason.com if you want to get a year for free. But he was talking about the Prism Monopoly. So NBA Prism Monopoly is something that I put some content out about from the Mint Collective. So if you want like a full recap on what this is, go check out one of my special episodes from the Mint Collective on the Prism Monopoly release. It does a nice job breaking everything down. But some of the, like, Chad's basically analyzing Prism Monopoly and saying sell it right now. I will say, though, that, like, there appear to be some potential bargains from within the Prism Monopoly blaster boxes and games. So I would highly encourage you to go to nooffseason.com, read Chad's article later today or later this week. But if you go to eBay and just look at some of the sales, you've got like some Jaden Ivey purple money shimmer prism out of 50 rookie card going for over $200. You know, I would say that definitely could be a risk. But then when you look at some of these other ones, I mean, could you not flip a DeJounte Murray 99 cents gold money shimmer out of 500 for a little bit more than that. I don't know. You know, LeBron James, black icon for $22. So this, the Prizm monopoly, I think the verdict is still out on like what the long-term value is going to be of these singles or of the sealed games, the sealed blaster boxes, things like that. I think it's something that's probably getting a lot of attention due to its initial release and things like that. Curious to everyone's thoughts in the comments. Chad saying sell. I don't disagree in general because it's a new release and there's hype around it. So, but I would encourage you to go read the article at nooffseason.com. Do your own analysis. Let us know what you think. So, audience Q&A, Rusty Emigart. We love Russ. This is an interesting one. So, hey, Paul, great show. Real quick, have this Jordan card that came back altered from Beckett. What's my play? Kraken sent to PSA, send and try to cross over, or am I just screwed and keep and sell as it is? Basically, Rusty, as much as I love you, you are screwed. This card has been altered in some way. It also happens to be not a very desirable card if it's not in clear PSA 10 gem mint condition. This card just does not sell for really anything over maybe $12 to $15 if it's not a PSA 10. The PSA 10 sells for a little bit over $200, but this Beckett Authentic Altered, if it were an 86 Jordan Fleer, you'd have like a $1,000 to a $2,000 card, even though it's altered. But because it's 1990 Fleer Jordan, you're kind of screwed. I mean, SGC, if you were to crack it and send it to SGC, you would just get the A on it, and that's going to, like, this card's going to maybe sell for like $5, unfortunately. So, love you, but just
do not send it to PSA.
Yeah, it's PSA is going to send it back to you in a card saver with your with your Beckett sticker from the slab, like right back in your face. Basically, it's what PSA is going to do. I've had that happen to me. All right, Scott Fouquet. Good to hear from Scott, longtime listener. Fernando Tatis Kaboom 2018 and 2020. Hey, Paul, hope things are going well. Great time of year with sports going and NFL draft. Have a question about Kaboom. Love them as do most. My quandary is purchasing a Kaboom card that is not a rookie. And also, I think Fernando Tatis is a good buy now. Hopefully he comes back and continues where he left off before the suspension. Looking at a Kaboom 2022 PSA 10, $475. Price looks pretty good. What are your thoughts on a return for a non-rookie Kaboom? The 2018 rookie PSA 9 Kaboom is going for around $1,000. Lefty, I'm going to let you get in on this because I know there's also another layer here that you probably want to add to this that I won't steal your thunder on. But here's some of the sales data. Tatis 2018 Kaboom rookie PSA 9. Sold in February for $710.78, 43 bids. And then you've got a sale more recent, March 25th, only 7 bids on the same card, $510. And then what's interesting is the 2022 Kaboom PSA 10 sold for $510. Rusty, in his question, said $475. So yeah, right in that pocket. But what's your answer to this, Lefty?
Well, this is multifaceted for me. We talked about Tatis in the sports card update where we talked about our rankings in the baseball card strategy show. And I was saying like, he's going to come back. I put him higher on our rankings than we had him previously. People are excited for him to come back. He had like a standing ovation when he came back, which is pretty crazy that a guy on a PED suspension got a standing ovation when he comes back, when they won't let Barry Bonds into the Hall of Fame because of it. It's just like, this is so weird. You know, Tatis transcends, he transcends different like trends in, I don't know how to, he transcends. We'll just say it that way. But Tatis has a big market. I think he is a point right now where his market could not be hotter right now. So if you're selling, then sell high. If you're buying, then you're going to really have to hope that he comes back in a big way. But I think Panini is a non-licensed product. We've talked about this all the time. Do not buy Panini. But the one Panini card that I would buy is a Kaboom. So if you're going to buy a Panini card, it better be a Kaboom, because the Kaboom, like, people strictly buy and sell Kabooms. Like, if you see a Kaboom on a table, people are always going to pick it up. There doesn't matter what the sport is or anything. And so if you have a Fernando Tatis Kaboom, it's the one non-licensed card that I would say, okay, maybe. I'm still not doing a Kaboom because I'd rather have a Bowman, but I think it's a cool card. So Tatis is an electric character, and the Padres are not playing well right now. So if he's able to turn this franchise into a better season so far, Machado is putting up horrific at bats. So I mean, they need some juice, and Tatis can bring the juice. We've seen that. So
Scott, great question. Lefty nailed everything I was thinking as well. And all things considered, I would buy this. If you can get it for $475 and the last sale was $510, I think you're buying in at a point where you're right, Scott. Like, I do only think that he can outperform where he is now. Like, he hasn't gotten back to where he could be, and there's no reason to think that he won't. And then I agree with everything Lefty said about the non-licensed, but the Kaboom kind of being like in its own separate compartment where it kind of still exists as a play because it is Kaboom, and the non-licensed thing doesn't necessarily hold as much weight because it is sort of that artist rendering of the player. So the licensing might not matter as much to the collector because Kaboom has that. Love Borusky in the comments. For those of you who don't, habla español, El Nino is Spanish for the Nino. One of my favorite Chris Farley lines from earlier Saturday Night Live days. I think that this is a play, Scott. So thank you for the question. Keep them coming, everybody. All right, up next, Joshua Ryu from Alaska. Lefty, I think you'll like this. I got some data pulled up here to support this, but Josh was wondering about a Jordan and a Gretzky RC play. So Lefty, you talk about storage of value, of value here. Josh says, I'm thinking about investing in a PSA 8 Jordan rookie and a 79 Tops Gretzky PSA rookie. He doesn't say the grade yet. I see Gretzky and Jordan rookies have had plenty of sales in the last 6 months. Looks like the market has undergone a correction from the stratospheric boom of the pandemic. Well said. These are more blue chip moves. I was wondering if you could take a look and tell me what you thought. Looks like I can get a good Gretzky for around $4,500 to $5,000 and a Jordan for $5,500 to $6,500-ish. These would be long-term holds. That money could be used towards newer blood, but honestly, both these cards I don't see going down much. What are your thoughts? Do you think they will go down much, or now might be a time to strike? I think, Josh, this is probably a question that applies to everyone listening to this show. Lefty, what do you think?
This is a card that I was hunting quite a bit about a year ago. And it was something that I did not understand a year ago. As Paul and I were walking around the National, I was like, Paul, I do not understand why there's such a high variance in this card. Like, we were walking around and I was trying to find PSA 5s. And I was like, I'm trying to find one for $1,000. And then I would find some that are like $6,000. And then I would find some that are like, I'd find fours for like $900. And I was like, I don't understand what's going on. The Opeachy is why it's such why there's a difference. There are Wayne Gretzky 79 Tops base, and then there's Opeachy, which is looks exactly the same, but it's just like a different rarity. But the rare ones are the $4,000 to $6,000 ones, for instance, which is one you're looking at right here. So this is a card that I would love to have. This is a card that I have searched to have quite a bit. And eventually I probably will put a storage of value into a card like this. But personally, I would rather go with Gretzky than I would Jordan, because Jordan scares me a bit. Jordan, like, obviously he is highly coveted in the hobby, and he almost is the hobby in a way. But Jordan is, we've talked about this a little bit before, but he lives a life that I am not condoning.
I believe I said something about him potentially coming out with like a Bill Cosby-esque story later on.
I'm just scared of that. Like and he's selling he's potentially selling his stake in the Hornets. Like, I think that will like drive his prices down. Like, I just don't know what Michael Jordan's going to do. I love Michael Jordan previously, but the current Michael Jordan gives me the shakes, you know? And so I would rather invest in a guy like Gretzky. He seems like a stand-up individual and seems like everyone loves him. But exactly, kind of a dirt bag, you know, like we've seen him drunk in public before. It's skipping a hop away from doing something that's going to tank his value. I would rather have the Gretzky, even though I would rather have this card, but I know that this card is going to go down in value if Michael Jordan ever does anything stupid. So,
yeah, it's a great question from,
but I think Joshua, in the storage of value terms, like, I like the play. We'll put it that way. That's what I've been talking about as my play. So,
yeah, like I yearn for this Jordan as a basketball guy, but I agree with everything you just said. There's a reason why I haven't spent money on this Jordan card, because I'm not going to repeat what Lefty said, because I totally agree with what he said about Jordan, but I will add that I feel like this card is going to be hard to make money on. Like, I think that it just trades so often for, everybody knows what every grade and half grade of this card is worth. Like, everybody, and it's just going to be hard to get a deal on it. And then it's going to be hard to then sell it for more than what you bought it for. Even not saying it's not going to go up in value over time. I think, Josh, like, it could, and I don't think it's going to go down. So I think if you're looking for like a, if you're looking to have a Jordan 86 in any grade that you can afford, enjoy it, and then sell it for similar to what you bought it for, if that's your goal, by all means, like, that's what this hobby is for. But if you're looking to like make money flipping sports cards, this is going to be a hard one. Now, the Gretzky, I think I'm with Lefty on this. I don't think that this card has had its day yet. I think that the Jordan 86 has had its day. And it's like, it's been a field day. And now I think some of the other Jordan stuff could have its day. Like, maybe the star stuff or the Nike promo, like the other Jordan stuff, I think could definitely like spike. I think that this Gretzky could definitely spike in all the different grades. I think there's plays to be made, a little bit of confusion in the hobby around the OPC and the tops, even though it's not that confusing once you do your research on it. But Joshua, like, you have my green light to make both plays. Honestly, like, they're not bad. I just think if it's one or the other, I'd probably go Gretzky.
Yeah, me too.
So good luck with that. Great question. All right, this is an interesting one. We'll probably get more from this person, but Trending Sports Cards on IG gave us a lot of really nice words on the show. Really appreciate that. Not going to bore everyone with a long message on complimenting our show, even though I would love to spend the time talking about how great we are. The question here actually is sort of going with so it's vintage versus ultra modern pickups for flipping purposes. Vintage, though, in this case, is defined interestingly. It's not necessarily the vintage baseball you would think it would be, but it's more of the Chipper Jones, Craig Biggio, Randy Johnson type Hall of Fame players below your Griffies, right? So picking up cards that are either highly graded and or, I think specifically what the question here is, though, from Trending Sports Cards, to cut it down, is inserts. So like cool 90s inserts of these Hall of Famers, Biggio, Chipper Jones, Randy Johnson. Lefty, is this something that you can comment on here for Trending Sports Cards in terms of plays in this area of baseball cards?
There's just so much of it. I think if you're looking at grade count, that's not something to necessarily go by, because the junk wax era, like, so many people have tried to grade that in the 2020 boom. like people were just like finding stuff and they're just like, grade it. And so like, if you're just looking at graded numbers, I think that's an inaccurate way of facilitating a growth or a value proposition. And people just aren't really interested in those cards. Those are the kind of cards that sit on people's tables at card shows for, you know, for a year. And then you look back a year later and it's still at the same price because the person can't go down on it because they have an inflated value in it. And so it's just like, that's not a play that I'm willing to make, because I'd either rather go vintage, like non-80s, 90s vintage, like further back or because of pop count, or invest in a prospect because they're autographed or there's parallels or something like that. I'm looking at, in terms of rarity, that's what I would be doing. So I don't know if that completely answers the question or not.
I think it does in the way of like, what's for you, what's not for you kind of thing. I think trending sports cards, if you're going, I would love for trending sports cards to send us more information on this. And I think he said he would, and it would be a great submission for the sports card strategy show and tell so that we could like this would be perfect for that show, because it's like, then you could show us the cards. You could talk about like where you found them, what you bought them for, what you're looking to flip them for, or if you haven't bought them yet, like which ones you're looking at kind of a thing. What I'm hearing from the question though, initially, is like, the play could be, if you were to sort of have a target market for a Craig Biggio card, for example, being like obviously a Houston Astros super fan collector, and you went out and you knew that there was some short print or super short print Craig Biggio insert that for whatever reason had the rarity, was really cool and collectible, and you could somehow find that card in a dollar bin or in a $10 bin, et cetera, at a show and do those kinds of plays with your big units. Maybe it's a D-backs fan or a Mariners fan for him. Chipper Jones, obviously the whole Braves contingent, even people in Tennessee love the Braves. Like, you know, the Braves is kind of like Tennessee's team, probably like South Carolina's team as well as Georgia's team. So like, I think that there's a huge market for both the Astros play, the unit play, and the Chipper Jones play, but huge being relative to like what the rest of the sports card market finds interesting and valuable, which would be like a lot smaller. So mm-hmm. I think that it's definitely something there. It's not going to be for everyone. It reeks to me as like, could be some like a really unique play of the week submission on Card Talk, right? This is kind of where I think that lands. But would love to learn more from you, Trending. So thanks for the question. All right. Final question of the day that was submitted from Bradley Whitney. Brad's been a loyal audience member for some time now, so I appreciate this question. Wondering if I've used the eBay collection feature yet for posting. When using a computer, you can actually download a spreadsheet and add all of your cards to it. It takes that info and creates templates for each card. After that, you add photos, and just like you can post hundreds of cards in a single day. I heard your recent show about eBay, and I'd like to consider myself knowledgeable on the ins and outs of the marketplace. I sell cards because I love them, but I support those sales selling clothing and collectibles. That's cool. I have to be knowledgeable about many different areas, but eBay's tools actually allow me to stay organized. So this is a great tip from Bradley. Would love to learn more on this. Bradley would love actually for you to do a sports card strategy show and tell as well on how you use eBay. But I have used the collection feature a little bit. I do think it's pretty badass. I was familiar with the fact that you could download a template. You can download an Excel template. You can fill out the cards that you have, and then you can upload them, and that they would be in your collection in your eBay account. But I did not know that you could then spin those out into templates to sell those cards and save time and just add the photos. So that is really cool. Thank you for that tip.
I am like looking into that right now. So
yeah, I would highly recommend everybody do this. And like, you can see your portfolio here. So like, here's my all-time basketball portfolio. I'm up $35, but I've spent $6,600 to be up 35. Like, while that's good, it's not great. Like, I'd rather be spending $20 to be up 35. You know what I mean? That would make a lot more sense.
Apparently eBay thinks I'm down $825.
Okay. So, well, yeah, it's not all going to be completely correct just because you probably haven't added all of your stuff that you haven't bought on eBay and stuff like that. But here's my, what is this? This is football, but see, some of this is wrong because they've got like Anthony Edwards cards in here. They think Anthony Edwards is a football player. So we got to correct that. But anyway, I'm up 6% on my football. Lefty, I'm down on my baseball, 15%. That's not great. Down, getting crushed on my racing. Never should have bought all those Oscar Piastri cards. Just horrible.
Do you have any left?
Yes.
I might be interested in one of them.
Yes, I think I have one left. Other sports trading cards. What do they have under my other? Okay. Jerry Rice, Shohei Ohtani, Joe Burrow, and Trey Lance are under other.
That's funny.
But it is a great tool, I will say.
I've spent $3 apparently on football cards.
And then thanks to... So there's some correction that needs to happen, but thanks to...
Apparently, I've spent $41 on soccer cards. That is laughable.
I don't know, Lefty. You got to dig into why that data is so wrong for you.
I know.
But thanks to Bradley.
This data is horrible, actually, for me. Like, it's not right at all.
Greeny Green says, what exactly is the sports card strategy show and tell? Okay. The sports card strategy show and tell is a second weekly show that I have added on Thursdays. So you can go back and listen to or watch the other episodes. If you go to youtube.com/Paul Hickey, I know you know where that is, Greeny Green. You can find the last two episodes of Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. You can also go to sportscardstrategy.com, and that website will that web URL will redirect you to all of the Sports Card Strategy shows, and then you can see the last two Sports Card Strategy Show and Tells. But it's a new Thursday show. The concept is that anyone can submit a video to me that's about 1 to 3 minutes long showing your sports cards or some kind of strategy. But we've had a plethora of different kinds of submissions. So go check those out. And then Greeny Green, I would love it if you submit something. Shoes says he uses the eBay collection to see his profits and what he spent. Yeah, I agree. Great tool. It is in beta. Bradley coming in. Bradley, good to see you in the comments. Appreciate you watching and commenting. He's saying, Lefty, it's in beta, so the more you put in, the better it'll work for you.
Cool.
Greeny Green, you're going to submit something. Love it. All right. Email it to me at paul@nooffseason.com. Email me questions. But go watch those first two episodes just so you can get a feel for what people have done. Get creative. Shoes has been like very, very creative with it. Rob Masora had one of the most underrated submissions, I think, showing how his whole shipping station. Shoes and I are really jealous of that. So, Lefty, great show today. You got anything else to add before we take him to the rock music? What else is on your mind, man?
What else is on my mind? Nothing really. Oh, I did see a TikTok earlier this weekend about a celebrity that has gone bananas investing in Messi cards and Ronaldo cards. He's like, I'm investing in these two players only. And the cards that he chose to invest in were 2014 World Cup cards. And we talked about that on the Sports Card Strategy show, like during the last World Cup, that 2014 has a low print run. Krim was able to hit me with that number like last summer. And so I was like, 2014 is definitely the year that you should go and buy your World Cup cards anyway. And so this celebrity is investing a ton of money into that. And so it was just further analysis that, you know, 7 or 8 months ago, we were saying that same thing and you probably could have bought in a lot cheaper. So,
yeah, great call. There you go. That's close to one player, two players, one specific set. That's very interesting. So we'll have to follow that. I need to get into some tunnel vision mode. I was like Wembanyama only for like a month, but then I was like, let's buy all these SGC 9.5 slabs and crack 40 of them all at one time. So that kind of took me into couple different directions. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. I love Lefty McKee. I love all of you guys, and hope to see many of you at the National. Everybody, thanks again. Email me at paul@nooffseason.com if you want to be on the show. Have a great day. Rock music.